A recap of a wild Chargers-Cowboys Monday night football game. Is Austin going to apologize to me for losing my fantasy football matchup to him? Wouldn't hold your breath on that. And lastly, what are our bold predictions heading into week 7? All that and more coming up on Eckler's Edge. It's Wednesday, October 18th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to Eckler's Edge, presented by Toyota, part of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball because we're coming off a big Monday night football game featuring the man himself. Joining me to talk ball today is LA Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Austin, what's going on, buddy?
What to do? What to do? Looking forward to another amazing episode, even though obviously coming off a loss, which absolutely sucks. I will say this, it feels really good to be back out there, though.
Oh, I'm sure it feels very good to be back out there. You're coming off a loss, but you're also coming off a win in one sense, Austin, because we'll fully break this down later in the show. But, you know, in the game that really matters. Yeah. Okay. Chargers, Cowboys. I get it. You know, football, whatever. The game that really matters, Austin, you took home the win. You beat me in fantasy, pal. You beat yourself in fantasy.
Yeah. Not on the good side. It was like the opposite of, who was it that said they beat themselves?
Travis Etienne.
Yeah. It was the opposite. I was trying to beat myself. Trust me. I was out there trying to score as many touchdowns as possible. It just didn't end up happening on Monday Night Football. So it ended up helping my fantasy team, but there was a lot more at stake than my fantasy, with the actual game. And so would have liked to give it myself an L this week for sure.
Alas, it was not meant to be, and neither was my fantasy dreams. Again, we'll talk about that in a second. Let's stick on the game here for a second, and let's stick on you playing in your first game since week one. What is it like to come back from like a four game absence, the bye week, everything? How are we feeling here on Monday morning for you, Pacific time?
Yeah. Coming off of an injury and then going through a full game, your first game back, and then coming out of the game uninjured, for the most part, just banged up a little bit from just general soreness is an amazing feeling. It almost is like, wow, I can come out of a game, you know, not be injured. Like that is a thing. And, you know, I've only played one game this season now too, but coming out of that, you know, it was like, dang, like my ankle's like twisted and I'm like, like my body just doesn't feel right. But now, safe to say, okay, getting in a rhythm hopefully and can continue to stack up some more games, keep the body healthy, and continue to contribute. Yeah, it was a rough one for us out there, man. It was such back and forth, which, you know, that's what makes the NFL intriguing to watch, obviously, as athletes. You know, for us, regardless of, you know, how you're a fan of me, whether it's from fantasy, or whether you're just a Chargers fan in general, you know, you expect us to go perform and we expect the same. And, you know, when we don't get it done, you know, we feel that weight. We know we got to stay together, come back, bounce back and, you know, put something together. You know, we felt like we had enough options and opportunities to win that game. But as just a general, we didn't execute at a high enough level to get that done, including myself. Got to make sure, pick up this game, especially coming in against the Chiefs, which we know is a high powered offense. We're gonna have to score points. So we got to get that done.
I don't know where you want to take it from there. Like, was there anything you think details wise, like small things or more of a matchup part of it with Dallas? Like where exactly are some of those areas you can tweak? Maybe it's you individually, your team as a whole.
Yeah. I'll stick with me. Just, I know there's a few runs that I would love to have back, which were just like so close to being a better run. And
yeah,
when I say so close, that's the difference between like a touchdown or between, you know, breaking out and getting one-on-one with a safety, where it's like you get turned and all of a sudden now you get turned and now you're, you know, giving these guys time to rally around you. And I know there was one, I think it was actually my first run of the game, which I would like to see myself get more downhill on that one. It was a little too indecisive. Had sloppy vision, sloppy eyes, and my eyes weren't in the right spot. And so it kind of took me off of my read. And so little things like that add up in the game, because it's the difference between a 1-2 yard no gain and, 5-yard, 8-yard gain, which gets the drive going, right? Gets that first down, gets a rhythm going. And so yeah, I got to continue to make sure I'm locked in. You know, I'm in year seven. It's inexcusable for myself to make those types of mistakes and make sure I'm playing at a high efficient level at all times. And so just little things. It's not a bunch of big things. It never is in this game. But right. That's what makes this game so tight at the end is those plays where it's like, like you're so close. You know,
it's interesting that you bring up some of that stuff with like how you could have broken to the second level and been one-on-one with the safety. Cause I think for a lot of us watching at home, you know, at different times last night, as I'm watching the game, like, man, yeah, it just seems like he's getting like arm tackled, right? You know, even if it's at the line, right, you know, 1-2 yards past the line of scrimmage, and those small, small moments, like you said, can make the difference between like, all right, this is now going to go from a 3-yard run to at least a 5-yard run, but he could take a guy like Austin could take a 5-yard run and make it 15, 20 big explosive plays like that. And I know sometimes our temptation on the outside is like, oh man, if the offensive line like did their job or whatever, but you are saying, and I think we talked about this a little bit with like the Montgomery part of the conversation we had a few episodes ago, that sometimes it can be on like small things with the running back too. And I don't know, is that like,
yeah,
you haven't played in a couple. Go ahead.
Here's the thing, you know, when we're running the ball as runners, it's rarely going to be perfect where we can just run a straight line and then we run and score a touchdown. Like that's not happening. There's a lot of stuff happening as far as twist, people falling off, maybe missed blocks, maybe not as solid of a block as you want. People, you know, playing this game we call a 2-gap, which they're kind of playing both gaps. There's a whole bunch of stuff happening. It's straight carnage. And so for us as runners, we have to make sure we're efficient with our footwork, we're efficient with our steps, and we're putting ourselves in a place to kind of help our O-linemen out so that we can run through there efficiently. And then also on top of that, we have to be efficient going through the line. For example, we ran this little power play on the goal line right before Keenan's touchdown when I got like to the 1-yard line. And we come around, Rashawn comes around, kicks this guy out. He didn't like blow the hole open like we might see a practice where it's like, oh, it's just an easy walk in. But there was a hole enough where I got up in there, but I got turned because he kind of had a little bit of pushback and I get turned. And instead of me going forward efficiently, and then I would have been able to walk in, I get turned, which starts slowing me down. Now I'm trying to catch my balance. And now all of a sudden the safety has time to recover over the top and can plug the hole and stop me on the 1-yard line. And so it's if I wouldn't have got turned, touchdown, boom. It's little things like that. There was another one where there was an untouched guy. I think, you know, one of our guards got off late to a backer guy, untouched, coming down the A gap, and he's got my freaking leg, you know. And it's like one of those where it's like, you got to break a tackle. Like, I got to make a play. I got to get out of that. Yeah, sure. It's not advantageous that there's a guy running free in the hole, but hey, it's 1-on-1, me and this guy in a short space, right? Give me some type of move. And then guess what? I'm cutting back out there. And if you can see that, if I get through that, I'm going back and I'm on the corner. And so that's why it's like, so close in this game. And so those are two of the examples, you know, those play out throughout the entire game. There's examples where it's the opposite way, where it's like the defense was this close to making the play and I sprung it out, you know, for a run. And so for me as a runner, it's frustrating because I know how close it is. And I hold myself to the highest standard possible. And I want to see myself perform and continue to perform at that level. And I know it hurts the team if I don't. And so for me, it's always continue to put pressure on myself to continue to be the best I possibly can be and make those plays. I have to make those plays, not only for myself, but for this team. And they depend on me to do that. And I depend on myself to do that for my livelihood in this league. And I got to get that done. And, you know, I didn't get it done enough on Monday. So that's how I see it as a running back and as all runners, you know, we all go through that. And, you know, the more efficient you can be, obviously it's going to show up more and you're going to be able to play a little bit longer.
Yeah, no, totally makes sense. I think that's a really good explanation of it. And sometimes, yeah, it's bang, bang like that on the broadcast. It's hard to really know live until you can really watch the game back. And I'm sure you'll take things away from it too. Well, hey, you know what? The excitement of this game started for you before kickoff, pal.
Hey, what's going on down there, man? What the heck?
I could not believe as I'm like watching this little scrum happening on first. I think I saw it. I didn't have the TV on yet. I think I first saw it on Twitter or whatever, like Colin sending me clips. And then, you know, there's our guy, Austin Eckler, you know, just getting his helmet knocked off by Dante Fowler. I'll tell you what, pal, if there were, you know, we bet on everything these days. There's gambling at all over the place. if people were to set betting lines on which podcast host was going to get rocked in the face first between me and you, I definitely think my face is more punchable than yours. So tell us what happened there with that scrum at the beginning.
Yeah, man. So we're going through our normal warm-up routine, right? We're just in our stations and stuff, doing our little drills and everything. And the DBs come running out on the field. And it's just, you know, the normal DBs come running out on the field. But at the same time, I don't know if it was the D-line or some group for Dallas was also running out on the field. And I think they were trying to use the same area. And so I think there was like some type of altercation there. And I'm like in the vicinity. We're not in the exact same area as the DBs. We're like right next to them. And all of a sudden, I hear a bunch of, and people are like skirmishing around. I'm looking around and all of a sudden, like, what the heck? Like, what's going on? And like, the guys are pushing. And then all of a sudden I see Zant, one of our corners, like going at it with this dude. And I'm like, my instincts just kicking. I'm like, oh, I got to get my guys out. Like, let me go get my guys out. And so I just, you know, jog in there. I wasn't at the intensity level that they were at. Right. So like, if you see it, I'm just kind of like casually like walking.
Yeah,
in,
you're bopping in there.
I'm walking into a fight. Like, you know, what's up, guys? Like, everything's chill. I'm going to get Zant out, like get my guys out, protect our guys. And all of a sudden, you know, I catch some of the, you know, the bypassing throws that are being thrown around. And yeah, sure enough, caught one right in the side of the helmet. And I mean, it didn't faze me at all. I didn't even think twice about it. I was like, oh, my helmet came off. And I'm just getting Zant out of there, just like I said, protecting our guys. But I feel like I was the one that was targeted out of all of this, you know, and I'm in here trying to break it up. But yeah, that was just my defensive instincts kicking in for, hey, protect your guys, you know.
Anybody who's ever been in any type of fight, you know, whether it's sports or, you know, maybe there's been a few adult beverages consumed, you almost always, like, whoever tries to break up the fight is almost the biggest person at risk, right? Because you're right. You don't come in there with the same level of testosterone as the two dudes that are going back and forth.
Right.
By the way, I think the one guy on Dallas was Mozzie Smith, their defensive tackle that they took in the first round, who's a big freaking dude. So shout out to the DBs for punching up size wise. But yeah, that everybody's been in that situation before. You're trying to end the thing. You're trying to put it in. Sometimes you just take the sucker punch and your helmet just flying right off.
That doink.
Was yeah. What a scene.
So hey, it is what it is. One thing we always coach, just, you know, for your guys' sake, whenever there's like a skirmish like this, like, just get your guys out of there. You know, don't try to get them out of there, because now it's like, you know, you keep clashing. And so that just, boom, I was like, all right, let's go get our guys out of here. We can save it for the game. Then we can go, you know, do it legally and, you know, in between the whistles.
That was the thing, because I got a lot of people sending it to me like, yo, Austin's in this fight. And I'm like, I've known Austin for several years now at this point. He's pretty low to me. And look, anybody can get going at any time, but I'm pretty low on the about to start a fight power rankings is Austin Ekeler. So I was like, I bet you, and you could see it on some of the angles, you're coming in there to kind of, you know, break this thing up and that happens. So
look, I'm not saying that I wouldn't fight, but for my perspective, there's too much at stake for me to be in the situation where I have to fight somebody. You know, if the stakes are, you know, at a magnitude where it's like, okay, we need you to step up, I'm stepping up. But you know, and then I'm like, nah, I ain't getting in a damn fight. You know, I'm not trying to get fined because knuckleheads are pushing themselves around and now I lose, you know, 20 grand because, you know, these guys are knuckleheads before the game. Like, come on, I ain't doing that. Like, you know, I got a lot more that I would, you know, save my money and spend my money on than, you know, pushing and shoving before a game.
Yeah, then sending 20 G's to the NFL. I don't think so.
Donate this money on my behalf. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. How about you? Yeah. Just donate it yourself. I mean, my God, have you seen the stuff where like Tyreek Hill's getting fined like $100,000 for socks?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. I feel like some guys that really don't care. And it depends on where there's levels to this stuff, Matt.
Sure.
You're making $30 million a year. You know, you might not care about $100,000 if you look good, you know, depending on how much that matters to you. Like I said, there's different, like, some people really, really care about how they look. They want to look how they want to look. And so if they wouldn't want to take the fine, then you're going to take the fine. I'm just going to tell you right now, Matt, I'm Mr. Default. Like, I got my default socks on. My swag is straight up, you know, turf bands and my wrist tape. That's what you're going to get from Austin. And but with some of these guys, man, I'm telling you, they got the arm bands, right? They got the layered sock sleeves. You know, some people, you know, like Tyreek, don't even wear socks. You know, some people want the tinted visor and they're going to pay a fine for that too. But like, hey, you know, to each is, you know, your own. Like, what do you want to do? You do it.
Yeah, we have talked about my fashion sense before. It's rather basic male. I think I do all right for myself. I'm not getting my clothes from like Walmart or something. Shout out to Walmart. You know, if you
Hey, here's the thing. You can put a good fit together. You know, you just got to have the right style. You can get a great fit from Walmart for sure.
Well, I don't have that. That's the thing. So I need some help. I need to spend up on the clothes because I don't have the sense. There's that. And also, second part, Tyreek Hill and I are living very different lives. If I was ever fined $100,000, we're gonna have some real problems. So yeah, as you said, to each their own. I will continue to follow all of the rules so that I am fined $0 and zero cents in any walk of life. And yes, you know, Tyreek Hill can keep doing what he's doing.
I can actually relate to you on the style thing though, because for me, if it was me, I'd be shorts and like a t-shirt and, you know, my silver chain every single day. But shout out to my fiance, Melanie Wilkin, who always puts my fits together for me. So I have someone who picks up that for me. I'm my own personal, you know, stylist, so to speak. Yes.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat with my wife, where I was literally telling Colin, the producer, before this, that I did like a skin tone test of like, what's the colors that go best with the hue of your skin? This green that I'm wearing right now is good with that. So anyways, okay, what the hell are we talking about? All right, last couple things
sorry,
on this
I got
game.
On a tangent.
What the hell are we talking about? Last couple things on this game. By the way, didn't have the night I wanted in fantasy, but I did get one prediction right, Austin. I knew this was going to be a weird game going into it. Look, no offense, but the Chargers, you guys consistently playing weird games. The Cowboys also consistently playing weird games. Everybody's all excited about a fantasy football, you know, powerhouse fest last night where we're going to get like 55 points. My buddy Hayden Winks tweets out, there's just no way Cowboys Chargers on Monday night is a normal game. I quote tweet this thing and I said, we will be excited for a lot of points on Monday, and this game's going to find a way to end 20-17 with one team missing a field goal at the end that could have sent it to overtime. This thing, I lost complete control of it last night. My phone's blowing up. 1.6 million views on this tweet.
Wow.
And I just want to pat myself on the back for getting it 90% correct. 20-17. I should have been a little more general with how it was going to end. Like, one team will blow it on the last drive, but hey, I'm going to give myself 90% credit for this prediction.
I would give you 100% because, you know, the fact that you said that someone's going to miss a field goal like that, basically, I mean, not getting to a field goal is basically missing the opportunity for it. So I would say you got it pretty much as close as you could possibly get it. So I would give you 99% correct, man. Like that is some foresight there. That's some foreshadowing, man. That's, you had that, the sense you went with your gut, and your gut was spot on. Cause yeah, it was a weird game where both of us had opportunities in the red zone where we went for it on fourth down and got stopped. Like we didn't convert, didn't get a touchdown. We didn't kick a field goal either. Both of us. And so, man, it was a strange game. Obviously both teams were playing very aggressive, to try to put themselves in a place to win. And you know, that's expected from our group. We're always going to be playing aggressive for the win. And man, yeah, it was one of those games we already talked about a little bit, but it was a back and forth battle, man. I feel like it was a little sloppy on both sides at times too, just the penalties.
Some of that's on you guys. Okay. I get it. But at some time, like, yo, refs, we didn't turn this game on to watch you guys. Okay. All right. That was a damn ref show last night,
man. I mean, yeah. We could play clean, you know, as clean as we possibly can. But man, it's tough. It's tough because I feel like that game could really gone either way, which isn't a good thing. I'd say we need to make sure that we put ourselves in a position to get ourselves where it's like, no, we dominated that game. And so that's, you know, we have another opportunity this week and I'm excited because it's against the Chiefs. And man, I cannot wait, you know, body feeling healthy. I cannot wait to get back to practice, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited to get back to practice just because it's like, man, like, I know where we're at. I know the talent we have. And it's like, that wasn't displayed on Monday Night Football. And so let's get back to work, man, because that's what it's going to take, getting back to work and making sure we're ready for this game on Sunday.
Well, I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see this offense going forward, right? Because like you said, you're back in action now. I'm sure, you know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I feel like the second game back from a multiple injury absence is probably a little bit better than the first from a comfortability standpoint, but also like a physical standpoint. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know, you got Keenan, you got Justin Herbert. I wouldn't say that was Justin's best game on Monday night, but you know, there's little opportunities here and there to get going forward. Josh Palmer's playing pretty good football too. I will say that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We're having guys step up, right? You know, when Mike Williams goes down, guess what? We need another guy to fill in that type of role. And he's been making some big plays for us.
Last thing on this game before we talk fantasy here. Wild atmosphere, right? I do want to just quickly get your reaction to the Chargers fan that became an overnight sensation on social media. I mean, hey, she was invested in that weird ass game that we were just talking about. The Chargers even changed their social media account to she's now the profile picture. My entire timeline was just pictures of her. We have so jumped the shark with football stuff sometimes where people are literally debating whether she's a paid actor or not. Tom Pelissero, who works for the NFL Network, by the way, so maybe he's in the bag of the conspiracy, said that her and her husband, I guess, are real ticket holders. So maybe no conspiracy, but hell of a moment.
Yeah, I would say this, actually, that her reactions are nowhere near my mother's reactions. So her doing that is like, oh yeah, that's a passionate fan to me. If they were to show my mother at the games, she's going around, she's high-fiving people in the section, she's hugging, she's standing up, she is physically invested into the game. And so when I see, you know, her out there being a passionate fan, it's like, yeah, that's just a passionate fan, you know? But like, cause I know how my mother is. My mom is exhausted after the games because of the emotions that she goes through and how invested she is and how much she cares about us doing well. And she's just like that fan was, like the ups, like, yeah, going crazy, getting the fans going around her. And when it's down, she's pulling out her hair. She's switching seats with my, you know, my fiance and the people that are there. Like, we got to switch up the vibe. Like she's doing everything she possibly can to try to help from up there. She's screaming. She's getting people hyped up. And so, yeah, like seeing that, like, I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, that's a good fan. Thank you. Like we appreciate that. And so, you know, I think where it got a little like conspiracy wise is I think they kept showing her. Now people are like, okay, why do they keep showing this fan? So that was just a little strange. I don't know if there was like, hey, this person's really passionate, let's keep showing her, or what was going on.
I thought people were just going to be happy it wasn't just Taylor Swift the whole time. Like, aren't people are allegedly sick of that whole thing. Like, hey, just take the fans in the stand like a normal, regular person.
Right. It's funny. There's a clip from my mom, actually. They showed her. It was like, I think it was a Raider game last year or 2 years ago, but it is so funny because it's like right after our score and she's up there, she's swinging, she's like going crazy. And it's like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. My mom like puts that fan in the, like, oh, that's a calm fan. and so when I saw that fan, it was like, for me, it was like, yeah, that's just, I mean, it's just a fan. What's up? Like, that's what we want from our fans. We want them to be passionate. We want them to be feeling the emotions of the game, the ups and downs and cheering. So shout out to them and all the other true fans that are out there giving us that emotion and that emphasis of being invested.
Well, I know people are invested in our fantasy matchup from last week, Austin, and it is with great regret I say that while you might not have won the little football game last night, you won the matchup that really matters here, Austin, our fantasy football. Yeah, that's the real important thing here. In the matchup of the year, Austin's two sexy for this league takes down Harmon's Hedge that has Austin Eckler on the team in an absolute nail biter, 92.68 to 82.2 points. I mean, it came down to Monday Night Football, which, by the way, best thing that could have happened, right? This would have sucked if like you were blowing me out or I was, you know, whatever. Obviously, you had Justin Herbert and the Cowboys defense, which people were like, very, very in tune to that. They're like, Austin started the defense against himself. What's going on with that? I had Austin Eckler. Came down to a couple plays, bro. You know, the one that sticks out to me, is Herbert pins that ball on you at the goal line, you're probably walking into the end zone, and I'm winning in our fantasy matchup. So I was pretty tilted last night. I'll be honest with you.
Look, you know, there's a lot of important things, and you know, in my life, fantasy is one of them, just because I love the community aspect. But I would
50th
say
50th on the list.
I would say winning the game and playing well is a lot higher. It's a lot higher than our fantasy league. And I wish I would have beaten myself, you know, this last week. And yeah, like I said, you know, how close it can be in the run game, it can also be that close in the pass game as well. And yeah, there was two opportunities that I had to score that, you know, it came down to me making a play or me, you know, having just a little different of a technique that could have sprung for me in the end zone and helping out our team a little bit more, and obviously would have put you over the edge of beating me. But man, yeah. And then, I mean, starting the defense. So for me, I honestly really don't care. Like I want to go up there and tear. I hope we get, you know, 100 points on these people and they get negative, you know, 50 points. But for me, it's like start them. Like I'm not really that invested as far as caring about who's playing, what we're playing. If we're playing them, it's just like fantasy is its own thing out here on the side. And then my football is me, right, with my efforts, trying as hard as I can to make sure I don't care what defense is. I'm trying to run up as much as I can on them, even if it's a defense that I'm playing against. And so I don't really see. Yeah. Yeah. It's like
start your studs, bro. Stuff. The Cowboys defense has carried you to this point in your fantasy season or been a big part of why you've been so good.
However,
you know?
We were playing them, so I was trying to, you know, obviously run up the scoreboard on them. But you know, they're great defense. What can we say?
And here's my message to you, Austin. You said to the start of this, like, you know, you could have been better for my fantasy team. It's not on you, bro. It's on me. Okay, let me tell you what my decision making led me to this point, okay? Because for the most part, I've got a team that I'm rolling out every single week. You know, I'm starting Jalen Hurts every week. I'm starting Calvin Ridley, my guy Nico Collins, my guy Tyler Lockett. I'm starting those players every single week. You, when you're out there, obviously I'm playing you every single week. I got Cole Kmet at tight end, whatever. You know, you gotta play somebody at tight end these days. Nobody scores any damn points there. My running back two spot, between Alexander Mattison and it's between Zach Moss. That is the one spot that I rotate basically every single week. Obviously, we know Jonathan Taylor coming back now at this point. I really psyched myself out, despite the fact that Zach Moss, you know, had like 20 points the week prior. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, look, I really want to beat Austin this week, okay? Because I don't want to come on this show and have to, you know, have him just dunk on me, okay, from a fantasy perspective. This is starting to get embarrassing. He's sitting here saying he's just playing whatever defenses every single week, and his investment level is not nearly as high as mine because he's got a real job that really matters because he's a damn NFL player. So, okay, I need to win, all right? I need to win this whole thing. So I'm sitting there, what do I do at my running back two spot? I know Zach Moss gave me a good week last week, but Alexander Mattison is technically the starter on his team. Zach Moss is technically the running back too, behind a guy who got a big contract. The Jags defense has played kind of above expectations. The damn Bears have not been so good on defense. So I'm going to go ahead and play Alexander Mattison, my running back two spot. 9.2 points for Alexander Mattison, 14.9 for Zach Moss. So honestly, Austin, it is on me, because this is a personal accountability podcast. If I had just played Zach Moss over Alexander Mattison, like I had slated at the beginning of the week, we're not even having this conversation right now, and you none of it matters.
Hey, I'll give you that. I'll give you that, but I'll also give you this. You know, you expect a lot from your players, just like coaches do when we get out there, and players have to go and execute. We have to go and execute. That's our job. And guess what? Sometimes we just don't get the job done. Sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we need to bounce back. You saw this week, all the undefeated teams, they lost. They lost this week against teams that you probably would have bet a lot of money that they would have beat. And so it's like, this is the NFL. There's going to be good. There's going to be bad. It doesn't mean you're ever out. It just means, okay, we have to learn from that and try to move on and try to be more consistent. And so I think that's maybe what you're experiencing right now, where it's like, hey, we got to continue to move on, right? I think you made a great decision. You know, you had a plan. And sometimes the plan doesn't go through. We had a game plan out for Dallas. We're trying to execute it. Sometimes it doesn't go through because guess what? There's two sides. There's coaching and then there's playing. What's more important? I would say playing's more important because we're the ones on the field. There's times where we're going to have to make plays that aren't coached up, right? And we saw that last night on Monday night, or you know, when we played on Monday. There's plays that just have to be made. Players have to make plays. And if you can get more of your guys to do that, and if you have them on your fantasy team, obviously it's going to help you, but it's going to help you win games, not only on, you know, in the actual field, but if you can find those guys. But you can't ever predict that. It's tough because you can't ever predict that. You know, you would say, hey, Austin's a guy who's made plays before. So that's a good chance that he's going to probably make a play here and there. Didn't happen on Monday. And it's not your fault. You know, it's combined. Hey, maybe you could have had a better game plan. Maybe my guys could have played better. So that's what we go through. Welcome to the stress of the NFL, man. It's the yin and the yang, the coaching and the playing. You know, it's all, you know, around itself, around each other.
Ultimately, you know, we do so much fantasy content. We do so much NFL content. Like, why did this happen? Why did this, you know, and look, it's important to analyze what happened and try to predict for the future. But, you know, sometimes I have people ask me, like, why didn't this guy perform this week? And you know what my answer sometimes is, Austin? And the best answer probably is, happens, man. Sorry, yep. I know it's a family program, but sometimes that is the answer, okay? And that's all there is. And if you can just take solace in that, you can move forward and try to make good decisions. I'm going to keep trying to make good decisions. I'm 3-3 now in our fantasy league. You're 5-1. So I'm going to be one of those teams that has to scratch and claw to make my way to the playoffs. But I have faith in my guys on this team, you know, Austin Eckler included, and everything going forward. So that is where our fantasy league lies. By the way, one last thing, Austin. The ironic part is I needed you to win this league. But then there was like at least one other spot, including our fantasy football live contest where we do a weekly thing, where I actually needed CeeDee Lamb to be significantly better than you last night. So, and frankly, if I'm going to lose to somebody, because you're a nice, humble guy who I really enjoy hanging out with every single week, Andy Behrens and Jason Fitz on Fantasy Football Live, I do not want to lose to those scumbags, okay? I cannot handle that. So ultimately, when you're invested in multiple things, sometimes there's not one consistent outcome you can be happy with.
Right, right. No, I totally get that. That's fair. Well, I'm glad, you know, ended up working out for you in another league. So good. Good.
That's all that matters is the thing was things work out for me. Real quick, before we do bold predictions, want to run one thing that's been going on this season by you. Offenses have been a little odd. A couple stats here to throw at you. Last week, you know, week six, you mentioned the undefeated teams lose, the Eagles, the 49ers. 49ers played a great defense. The Browns are unbelievable on defense so far this year. Rich Rebar, one of my good buddies, works for Sharp Football Stats, had this note. If you thought that football was not the greatest of quality yesterday, you were not mistaken. Only two teams were on a bye, yet it was the fewest offensive touchdowns per team, 1.6 in a week so far this season. He actually posted this before Monday night, and you know, 20-17. I think it's safe to say that number didn't go significantly up. There's a little bit of a phenomenon so far this year where red zone efficiency has not been there for offenses so far this year. Nate Tice, who works for The Athletic and also works for us here at Yahoo Sports, had this stat. He said, brought this up on our show last night, but if you feel like NFL offenses are having some issues in the red zone so far for 2023, you're not wrong. Offenses are currently scoring touchdowns on 53.3% of their red zone opportunities. That is the lowest rate through 6 weeks since 2011. So Austin, I know you're not going to sit here and tell me like, Matt, this is why it's happening this year, but I am curious from your perspective, how do defenses change and how do things kind of constrict and sort of how can offenses be sort of blotted out in the red zone generally?
Yeah, it's super interesting. Yeah, obviously I have no idea why that's happening. You know, that's a bigger discussion to be had. Maybe it's just a coincidence. Maybe it's just like, you know, like this year it's been just a slower start. I don't know. Maybe defenses are getting smarter and they're in, you know, and defending against, you know, plays that are highly statistically ran, and they're figuring out how to defend these plays. And one thing that, you know, happens when you get down in the red zone is obviously the field isn't as long. Now it's wider than it is, you know, in length down the field vertically. And so it's a lot more congested, right? The defense doesn't have to cover as much space. So it gets tough when you get down in the red zone. So that if you can run the ball down in the red zone, that's the best way to be able to score. Because now you don't even have to worry about spacing. We're going downhill, right? Handing it off, and we don't have to worry about trying to throw it and stuff like that. I think that's what what most teams would prefer is being able to run the ball down the red zone. I know that's what we do. And, you know, maybe it just hasn't been happening. Maybe, like, for me, it's like, what is the reason? I really can't answer that. I really don't know. I don't know. Our defenses, because the defenses we're seeing are pretty much the same, right? From last year and the past few years, like, we're seeing the same type of defenses down in there. You know, if we get into, you know, our sub personnel, you know, 11, 10, and then we're going to see probably an over front, over G front. You know, if we bring in any 12 personnel, we're probably going to see a jam front, five down. And so it's like, we know what to expect already. Maybe, I don't know. What is it? What do you think, Matt? What's your conspiracy on why we're not scoring this year as much as usual?
I don't know if it's a conspiracy, but I would say a couple of things I think to watch about this. One, we know that, like, statistically, teams play more man coverage on high leverage situations than they do across just the field generally. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think I might be butchering this, but statistically, man coverage goes from like around 20-23% across the field normally, like league wide. It jumps up to, I think, about 30% inside the red zone and then 32% inside the 10-yard line. So, you know, maybe that's a part of the explanation, but that's not new this year. I would say that, you know, I brought up the Browns defense. We have seen a sort of trend the last 3 to 4 years where defenses from that Vic Fangio and Brandon Staley comes off this to that tree. You want to play like too high and prevent big plays. And it's a little more like, you know, again, we're trying to take shot plays away from you. I don't know if maybe that translates into the red zone, but I would say the Browns defense, they're playing like a different style. And Philadelphia does this too, where they run, and San Francisco does this, a little more man coverage heavy. They're more aggressive. And those wide nine fronts. So I wonder if we're seeing, because, you know, this is how football works. It's like a moving target, and the league kind of shifts and changes as more teams try to copy what's successful. I wonder if maybe defense is getting back to more of that aggressive man coverage, wider fronts. Maybe that's something to watch going forward. I have no idea either if that's the explanation this year, but it could be a part of like a trend evolving with NFL defenses.
We shall see. We'll see if it continues on.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe the stats completely reverse themselves and teams are having great red zone success. That's football, baby. Like, what's happening in a 6-week sample size? You can do almost anything with a 6-week sample size, but wanted to at least put that trend on everybody's radar here as we head into the midpoint of the season. All right, it is time to finish the show as we always do. All right, Austin, since we're teaming up with the first ever Toyota Grand Highlander, the perfect vehicle for making new memories, we're going to create some memories of our own in this segment we are calling Future Snapshots. So make me a bold prediction. Who's going to have a memorable performance this weekend?
Ooh, okay. I am going...
Who's the latest recipient of the Eckler curse?
Oh, yeah. So let's give an update on last week. What did I have last week?
You had DeAndre Swift, who was going to have, you know, a big fantasy day for you, because that's what's important here, you know, in beating Matt Harmon. Swift actually had a pretty good game from a box score standpoint, but you were in on the, from a receiving standpoint, you were in on the rushing. He didn't quite get there on the ground.
Did I say all purpose? I forgot.
I don't know. Don't put any asterisks on it. You cursed another guy. He had like 1.8 yards per carry. Give me a break.
Okay. Well, this week the curse will be broken, and it will be memorable because it's going against one of the top defenses. My guy Jonathan Taylor. It's time, man. It's time to have this breakout game. You know, he's got his feet back under him with a few games in, and he's going against the Browns. So he's going against. Are they the number one defense right now in the league?
Yeah. You can. Oof. I just hyped them up in the last. You can tell Austin has no respect for my analysis. I hype them up all over in the last segment, and Austin's like, actually, you know what? They're going to get wrecked this weekend.
No. I'm not saying wrecked. I'm not putting that out there. But I'm saying Jonathan Taylor will have a memorable game, and he will have 80 yards rushing and a touchdown.
Okay. I like it. 80 yards rushing and a touchdown.
You know, I'm lowering my bold predictions a little bit more because it's been crazy out here for me and I haven't gotten anywhere close to any. So, you know, we're trying a new tactic this week. You know, my bold prediction is a little bit more conservative. It's still bold because it's going against number one defense, but 80 yards rushing, get my guy back on his feet and a touchdown.
Reasonably bold predictions is the way we're going to frame this. Okay, I'm going to not target one of the best defenses in the NFL. I'm going to target the Arizona Cardinals here in week number 7. I think Geno Smith throws 3 touchdowns in this game. So far this year, he has thrown 1, 2, 1, 1, and 0 touchdowns. My hopes that the Seahawks would have 3,000-yard receivers in our preseason bold predictions is not going so well. But I think, you know, I was a little nervous from a box score standpoint about Geno's performance against the damn Bengals last week. No touchdowns, 2 picks. Watching it back, there, talk about this close, man. This close to some monster plays. Geno throwing some dots there, just didn't totally get it converted. I think it all comes together in the box score this week. Geno throws 3 touchdowns this coming week and goes over 300 yards against the Arizona Cardinals.
Got it. You heard it here first.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Definitely not something that I need on one of my fantasy teams as well, by the way. But see, you know what? Hey, we're making memories here every day on Eckler's Edge. Those are our future snapshots. Thanks again to Toyota and the first ever Grand Highlander. All right, that is going to do it for today's show, Austin. Yo, glad to have you back on the field, even if it wasn't the performance that you wanted. Obviously, we expect better things going forward. I know you expect better things. But hey, man, I'll just say from a personal standpoint, congratulations on our fantasy win. But most importantly, congratulations on making it through a game totally healthy. I'm glad you're feeling better, and we're ready for a kick-ass rest of the season, man.
I appreciate you, man. Appreciate it. Great show today. Looking forward to next week.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, that is going to do it for today. Like I mentioned, tomorrow is Thursday, heading into another full slate of NFL action. So you know what that means. It's Stat Nerd Thursday with Dalton Del Don joining me for another electric episode where we give you one stat you need to know for all 32 teams. Until then, we're out.